Okay, gentlemen, so we're on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And hopefully we'll just wrap up the end of the sugya here. We're trying to figure out what the calculation of 120 is. The Mishnah says that what constitutes a city, what's an ear as far as a chiyuv to appoint a Sanhedrin of 23 judges, Sanhedrin Ketan, it's got to have 120 citizens that live in that city. So let's just calculate. We have 23, and then we have 3 shuros of 23, is what we end up with 92. Is 4 times 23 is how much?
92.
Then we have the Asara Batlanim, or the Beis HaKnesses. So that takes us up to 102. Then we have 2 sofrim, and we said that one sofer is in charge of writing the chiyuv, and the other zchus. And we have shnei chazonim; these are the people who are in charge of either bringing in somebody who's being subpoenaed into court, or beating up someone who refuses to accept the judgment of the court. So that brings us up to 104. Then we have, no, we have 2, 4, and 6, 106. Then we have 2 Bali Dinim, is 108. Then we have 3 sets of Edim, is another 6, is 114. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we want to get from 114 up to 120. So what are we missing? We're missing 6. So let's see how the Gemara... The Gemara now quotes a second brisa to get the additional 6. So let's see where we are now in the Gemara. We're on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and we are counting up. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, and we're trying to get from 114 to 120. Kol ir she'ein ba asara dvarim halalu. Ein Talmud Chacham Rashoi Lodur B'socha. Now, somehow from this Asar Dvarim, we end up with the number 6. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to somehow make some combinatio to it. Let's see how we work that out. So number 1, we need a Bezdin Makin V'onshim. We need a Bezdin that's able to mete out Malkus, or at least, let's say, Makin means, let's just think, Makin means Malkus, and Onshin maybe could mean Misa. Let's just see if that's a possibility. I'm not sure. So in any event, if we're talking about a city that has 120 members to it, then therefore it needs a Sanhedrin Agdola, and the Sanhedrin Agdola could implement even an Onesh Misa. That's what we saw in our mission at the beginning of the Masechta. So that's called Onshim, even to condemn someone to death. Okay, fine. Then we have a Kupa Shal Tztaka Hanigbeis Bishnayim Mishalekes Bishlosha. All right, this we discussed yesterday. We're not going to review that right now. And we have a Beis HaKnesses. You don't want to live in a city that doesn't have a Beis HaKnesses. So how many do we have so far? 5, I think. Let's see if I'm right. Let's see. You need a Bezdin Makin. You need a Bezdin Onshim is 2. You need a Kupa Shal Tztaka Nigbeis is 3. And number 4, you need a Mischalekes. And number 5, you need a Beis HaKnesses. Number 6, you need a Beis HaMerchatz. Now he has a footnote here. He says, "Lirchotz bo lichvod Shabbosos v'yomim tovim." So we're not talking exclusively about health and cleanliness. We're talking about Kovod Shabbos and Kovod Yontif. V'lo od. This is all the Ad Ramah. He says, "Eliyesh bo refuah leguf." You know, for health purposes, we need a Beis HaMerchatz. I don't know how relevant that is today. Today we have hot water in our own homes, but in those days you went to a public bathhouse to dip yourself into a hot pool. Chayev Adam Lishtadil Berfuas Atzvo. You hear this, Rabosai? This is a big chiddush. The Torah imposed upon us an obligation to make sure that we're healthy. Now, what that means in terms of diets and exercise, I don't know. But for those of us who are pretty busy in life, it's hard to find time for all these things that you need for a fua. So I don't know if Shomer Pesayim Hashem, you could rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when a person is mishtadel berfua, says the Yad Ramah, he should have in mind that why is he so interested in health? Kidei sheyuchal lasok v'torah uv'mitzvus v'lasok v'avodas boro. He should have the strength to dedicate himself to the service of Hashem. D'ksiv raki shomer lecha shvar nafshecha. That gives us number 6. Now we're up to Beis HaKisei. Again, he has a footnote from, in this case, the Yaivitz. That was Rav Yaakov Emden. He says, Nira shlohoy lehem l'chol echad Beis HaKisei b'beiso elohoy lehem ba'ayoros shebe'eretz Yisrael makom mukta b'tzad ha'ayoros shelo berchov u'bashuk. So there was a location outside the city, which was not in the marketplace or in the streets of the city. That's in the Parsha Melchama. So the first interpretation he offers is that not everyone had their own private bathroom. I think he's talking about Gedolim here. So he would have to, again, it would pay to live on the outskirts of the city. I don't know exactly how far you have to go to a bathroom. Even in a city where everyone has their own Beis HaKisei, right, a person has a pressing need and he's not near his house. So that's number 7. Then we have a Rofe. And we have an Uman. We said that Uman was somebody who bloodlets. They did that to, I guess, bring down blood pressure. The Lavlar. Lavlar is a person who writes Sifrei Torah. He says, V'yefshar, this is the Yad Ramah, Yefshar sheteyosa malocha al yidei sofrei hadayonim shehein trudim emalachtam. So even though we already have, the city is already equipped with two sofrei, but they're exclusively and completely tarud in their job within the Bezdin. We need now a sofer to write Sfarim and mezuzahs, maybe tefillin. So that would now be number 9, correct? That's what we said that Beis HaKisei was number 7. Maybe Rofe would be number 8. Just 1 second. If Beis HaKisei is number 7, just give me a second here. Rofe is number 8. Uman is number 9. The Lavlar is number 10. No, this doesn't make sense because then it says Malami Tinokos. Lavlar. I guess he counts Lavlar. Does he count Lavlar together with. Did I miss up the number here? Let me go again from the beginning. So we said what? We had a Bezdin and a Kupa. We saw that was 4. Beis HaKnesses was number 5.
Why do you say Kupa is 4?
No, maybe Beis HaMerchatz is number 5. Let's see, Bezdin Shemakim V'Onshim.
Ah, one.
That's 1. Yeah, because if you have 23 judges, they can certainly judge for Malchus, right? But then I think there are 2 here. One is a Kupish Hatztaka, and the other is Chalukas Hatztaka. So that would give us 3. And then we have Beis HaKnesses is number 4. Beis HaMerchatz is number 5. And Beis HaKisei is number 6. And then Rofe is number 7. Uman is number 8. Lavlar is number 9, and Malami Tinokos is number 10. Now you may notice Tabach here. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Tabach is a Shochet, and Rashi Eino Goris Tabach. Rabbeinu Chananel Kein Goris Teva Zu. V'Nidon Ze Toli V'Machlokus Yisholim Gavi Tafkidam Shol Sheshes Hanoshim Achaserim leminyan esrim v'anshi. Okay, fine. So we'll have to figure out if you have the girsa of Tabach, which is the girsa of Ben Chananel. So how does the number 10 fit in? And Rabbi Akiva adds that you need fruits, because fruits are very important. Me'irim esai nayim. Okay, fine. So now let's see. We had a calculation of 100 and what? 114, correct? Now, we need, in addition to those 114, we need two who are in charge of collecting tzedakah. That's the gabbai for collection of tzedakah. We need three for chalukas tzedakah. That gives me five all told. So 114 and 5 is 119. And then we need one person who serves as a rofe, uman, lavlar, and melamed tinokos. Now I understand how a person can be both a rofe and an uman. An uman is a makiz dam, so that you know what I mean. But he's also a sofer who writes farim. He's also a melamed tinokos. That's a bit of a chiddush to me.
My father was.
Okay, if your father was, that's great. What was he? He was a rofe and he was a bloodletter?
He was shalchei gemara, sofer.
And a sofer? Wow. And he was a malami. How did he have time for all that?
He's a busy man.
Right, they always say that if you want to get a job done, find a busy man. He'll find time for it. So Besach HaKol, he writes, Tzor she'ir be'ir me'er v'yesrim ish, u'bazeh yesh ole Hashem ir haru'uya l'sanhedrin. Now he writes in the footnote, Nisbayer ad ato seder chalukas hamalachos lefi pirush Rashi asover shetzarach lekupa shel tzedaka chamisha anoshim shnayim kidei ligvos u'shlosha lechalek. So again, according to Rashi that we've been building ourselves on, those two people who are in charge of collecting the tzedaka are not sitting on the bezdin. They don't play two roles and decide how to divvy up and who should get how much money. But Rashi holds the odadim echad. So in addition to these five people for tzedakah, we need another person to rofe for uman v'lavlar umalamid. Hiksha olav hayad rama sha'odim echad. Okay. I guess he didn't know about the leader family. Right. Sha'adam echan eni yochel lasos es kol ha-malochos ha-elu yachtov. U'betaros chayim hosu pozeh sharei malami tinokos. Oh, interesting. This is Sugim Baba Basra, I think. That a malami tinokos is not allowed to moonlight. He's not allowed to take on any other jobs. He has to be exclusively dedicated to teaching the children. Otherwise, the Gemara says, I think that we're afraid he'll get tired and he won't give the proper attention to his teaching. V'yim asa kein, and if a malami tinokos would take on all the jobs, is harei b'chlal or osa melechas Hashem remia. And the Rambam codifies this in Hilchas Talmud Torah Perek Beis. So that's one objection to Rashi. Od kasher, madua I efsha sha'osam shnei govim esakupo shel tztoki chalku osa betol sefes adam shlishi. Why does Rashi insist that the two gabbai tzedakah who are collecting the money can't join up with a third person to set up a triumvirate to decide how to divvy up the money? Why do we need another three people? Al kein pirish. Okay, so now we're up to an alternative interpretation, which we're going to attribute to the Yad Ramah. Et seder sheshes anosh b'ofen achash. It's al shlosha l'gviya. V'chaluka, so we only need three for tzedakah, right? Because the same two that collect will also be part of these three to divvy up the money. Then we need Adam Echad Tabach. So we have three plus one. Echad Lavlar is three, is four, is five. So we're up to five. The Echad Rofeshu Uman. Ah, so that's what I thought intuitively that would be correct. That you don't need what? You don't need a rofe and a uma because they're both.
But in Lamitinok is left out.
Just one second. Vasara batlonim, Ayosh beisaknes shasatfilo, heim malamde atinokos, michutz lishos atfilo. Do you follow what he's saying? That a malamid can't take on other jobs, but you know, the biathlon is not a full-time occupation, and that's not another occupation. He doesn't get paid for it. He's just davening. So it turns out you have 120. Haramam kosim shitzarot shlosha lekupa shel tzedaka. So that in that sense, he's like the Yad Ramah against Rashi. Echad lerofe uman. So again, rofe and uman are not two categories, but one. Echad lavlar. The echad melame tinokos. Let's just count it up again. So you have three for tztaka. You have one who's a rofe uman. That gives you four. You have a lavlor, which is five, and then you have a malami tinokos, which is six. So in other words, Rambam doesn't accept the Yad Ramah's thesis that those who are batlonim for the purpose of Beisak Nesbishas Tefillah, they can also play the role of malami tinokos. And l'chor the Rambam is right, because if you look at this list, the list that the city requires has 10 categories that we need, correct? One of them is... wait a second. No, Beis HaKnesset. It doesn't say Batlon. So that's not approved. So if I understand correctly, the machlokas here between the Yad Ramah and the Rambam is totally focused on the question of whether or not the Malame Tinokos could be one of the Asor Batlonim. That the Asor Batlonim could play both roles. They both agree that an Uman and a Rofe is one. They both agree that if it's stuck, all you need is three. If the Rambam is adding a Malame Tinokos in order to calculate that six that we want to get to, then if according to the Yad Ramah, the Malame Tinokos is not even calculated because he's included in the Asar Batlona, which we already calculated, so then we have to add one. So that's where the Yad Ramah has another argument against the Rambam. The Yad Ramah is going to add a Tabach. Let me just see if I'm right. He says, so shlosha legvia v'chaluka shal this, adam echa Tabach. So you need a shochet in town. Echad lavlar. Echad rofe shehu gam uman. And you don't need a malami tinokos. So the Rama has malami tinokos, but he doesn't have tabach. And the Yad Ramah has tabach, but he doesn't have malami tinokos. So that depends on the girsa that we had a question about the girsa, whether you have the girsa of tabach or not. Perhaps, you know, this is a question of eating meat. Okay, so you don't have a local shochet. You can always import meat from another city. Or does the city have to be so self-sufficient that it has its own source of meat? Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah. And this is the end, the very, you know, Lakute Basa Lakute, the end of our Mishnah. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Masayim Ushloshim Kineged Sore Asoros. So the Chemi says that the minimum amount of the population of the city for Sanhedrin Akhtana is 230. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that 230 is equal to 23 times 10. So we have what's called the Sore Asoros. And we're going to need 23 of them. I guess the number 23 is the number of the Beis Din. So we take that number 23 and we multiply it by 10. Then Rashi adds another sentence, and he says, "The Batzir me'asara lo ashkechan sanova." No, the Torah never appointed anyone over a group of people that's less than 10. So you need a group of 10. And then Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we need Sarei Asara. We're going to take that number Asara and we're going to multiply it by 23. Now the Braisa quotes another opinion. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, and now we're turning to Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Masayim Vishivim v'shiva. So we had 233. Now we have 277. Correct? What do we have in Koytra of Nechemia?
230.
I'm sorry, 230. Right? So we have...
another 47.
Okay, let me just write this down. So Rav Nechemia holds what? 230. And Rebbe holds 277. Okay. Now he says the following. Now what I'm about to present to you is a summary of a sugya later on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. He says the following. Rebbe accepts Rav Nechemia to start with, right? From the off the bat, you need 230. V'od, and he adds 47. Why does he add 47? Kidei she'im yechalku dayoni bezdin le'chodesar mezakim ve'chodesar mechayvim v'echad omer eni yodea. So you have 12. I'm sorry, you have 11 against 10. 11 against 11, right? So you have an equal number. So who's meant to break the tie? That would be number 23, right? The last judge. But he says, any of them. Is he a nitan lahosif aleim? We should be able to add to this bezdin another 47 dayanim. Okay? Why? Because if you add 47 to 23, you get how much? 70. And we don't go beyond the number 70, because if we would add beyond the number 70, then we already have a Sanhedrin Agedola. Kach mevur, he says in the footnote, b'gemor lahalon daf mem, shem yesh achadasar machay v'chadasar mezakin. So we have a stalemate between 11 and 11. Then the 23rd judge says, "Any yodeh." Mosifim od shnayim al mispar hadayon. So we add another two. Im yizaku shnayim. So if let's say the two vote in favor of acquittal, is yesh kan shloshu sar mezakin chadasar machayv harei yizakin. Oh, the im yichayvuhu shnayim. So yesh kan hatoya l'ral pi shnayim v'chayev. All we need is a majority of two to be mechayev him, and that we have. Oh, but im yechalku hashnayim ha'elu v'daitam. Let's say one is mechayev and one is mezakeh. So now we're up to 12 against 12. Correct? Let's just work that out. Mm-hmm. We had 11 against 11, and now one drops out. We add two more, so we now have on the bench, so to speak, we have 22 plus 2 is 24. We still have an even number. So if those extra two are split, then we end up 12 against 12. Right, we keep adding two because we always want to open up the possibility of having a majority of two to be mechayev him. But if they're split, we always have to add another two and another two and another two. Ad sheyu shivim, until we get to the number shivim l'Rav Yehuda, v'shivim v'echad l'divrei chachamim. So 1 second, how much is, so 1 second, we had 23 and we're adding 47. Is that means we have 70?
Otherwise you're not adding 2 at once.
Wait, give me 1 second. Is that reflecting, is he pointing out here that this is the sheet of Rav Yehuda? In second, does Rebbe accept Rabbi Yehuda? Ad sheyu shivim l'Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not sure who Rabbi Yehuda is. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is Rebbe. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe let's look at Rashi Masayim, see if he adds that point. He just says, Ad sheyu shivim l'Rabbi Yehuda v'shivim l'yechad l'Rabbanon. Okay, so that's I owe you an explanation for that. Okay, now the Gemara asks the following kash. Okay, till now the mathematics was pretty easy, but now it gets a little bit, the going gets a little rough, so you'll have to help me with the math over here. Vasani, we learned in a brisa, Rebbe Omer Masayim Shivim Ushmone. Oh, so that's good. Okay, that wasn't the hard part, but if Rebbe says 278, that means you can add 48 to 23, and you can go up to 71, because now he's reflecting the Shita of Rabbanim, Lo Kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbanim. So when Rebbe said that you need in this city 277, he was reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that we can only add 47, because then we rounded off 47 plus 23 is 70. Lefichah Yesh La'osif, but this braisa, which says that you can add 48, that's a reflection of Shitas Chachamim, who all that the Sanhedrin Gadol is made up of 71 judges, so you can add 48 to 23 up to 71. Okay, fine. Tana Rabbanan. Now let's see how many judges there were in the Midbar. Right, we know that there were 600,000 males in Klal Yisrael, Shishim Ribui, right, between the ages of 20 and 60. And we learned in the Braisa that after Yisrael, it says, V'samta aleim sorei alofim, sorei meos, sorei chamishim, v'sorei asoros. So the Braisa is now going to calculate from 600,000 how many Sarim there were. So let's write this down. So we start with Sarei Alofim, and since there was 600,000 divided by 1,000, right, so then we end up with 600. Okay, that's number one. Those are the Sarei Alofim. Now we get up to Sarei Meos, which means that you'll have one Sar for every 100 people. Right, so now what we're doing is we're multiplying by 10, correct? Because Elef is 10 times 100. And we got to 600, so now we're going to have to multiply 600 by 10, and that's going to give us 6,000, am I correct? Mm-hmm. And that's the Sarei Meos. Now we have Sarei Chamishim, that means one Sar for every 50 people. So let's see, how many times does 50 go into 600?
12.
Is 12, right? 12 times 50, 12 times 5 is 60, correct? So then we get to 12,000. Okay, Sarei Asoros. So now for every 10 people, so now you're going to divide, you need a Sar. So 10 into 600,000 is going to be 60,000. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's see if this adds up. Let's see, 0, 0, just 1 second, 6. 6 and 2 is 8. And 1 and 6 is 7. Let's see if I got this right by any chance. Nimtzu Dayoni Yisrael Shivas Ribu, that's 70,000. Ushmones Alofim, the Sheish Meos. Oh, I didn't do this right.
78,600.
Ah, here's the 6. I just didn't write the top part of the 6. So Nimtzu Dayoni Yisrael Shivim Ribu, okay, that's 70,000. Ushmones alofim, that's 8,000. So it's 70 and 8 is 78,000 plus 600. So we're adding 600, 6,000, 12,000, 60,000. So we start with Sarei alofim, then we have Sarei meos, then we have Sarei chamishim, and finally Sarei asara, and we end up with 78,600. Is there any significance to that number other than it just calculates? So if you wanted a good job, it seems like there were quite a few opportunities.
What was that? Only work in the government.
Government
job. And they give you a good, what's it called? What?
Boy, see, like, you know, five workers to do, and one of them's working.
Right, right. So you get a good pension plan. Yeah. So if we were able to do a good research on this, so we'd have to figure out why we need so many judges. Let's say you have 10 people. So let's say there's a person. Wait a minute, the numbers don't stim. There's 600,000. So the judges are included in the number 600,000. So 10 people have a judge. Oh, he has a footnote here. Let's see. L'chor yesh lahakshos kevan kitzad itochem shekach hoya mispar dayoni yisrael. Hari yesh lahotzi mechal aminyan. Oh, I said dayonim atzman. L'chor, you start with 600,000, and all your calculations are based on divisions of 600,000, right? Faction. Well, you have to subtract the dayonim themselves. Ula mashal liachas shetorid mimenu sheish meos. Sheish meos elef bnei Yisrael. Again, liachas shetorid miminyan sheish meos elef. You have to subtract from the 600,000. Sheish meos sorry alafim. So you can, if you're going to subtract, right? Because the dayanim themselves don't need dayanim, is therefore me'ato kvar ein lecha sheishes alafim. Right, we said that sorry meos was 6,000, but that's if you started with the number 600,000 and you're dividing by 100, but now we have to subtract 600. We have to sheish lahorid mehem shisha. Right, because you're going to take a fraction off of this. Let's say if you take out of the 600,000, you're going to remove 600. So in terms of meos, that means that you remove 6. The kolshkein shat tavotzi shneimasar elef sorei chamishim v'shishim elef sorei asaros. So he says the one who asks this kash is Tosus diramasel nimtzu, the top Tosus here on Yidches. Tirtzu kushe zu v'shnei ofanim. So they offer two possible answers to this question. Aleph, the first one is Me'achar v'lo nimnu ela mi'bnei esrim v'yad shishim. So we're talking about the ages of 20 to 60. Me'meli yitochen lomar sesorei ha'lofim v'ameos v'chamishim ha'yukulom yoser mi'bnei shishim. That those who were chosen as Sorim were above the age of 60. So we're not going to subtract them from the numbers because the numbers only go up to the age of 60. That's pretty clever. Ulekach, enei mechasim miminyan asorim shlachreya. Omnom, legabi sori asoros, ein tzorach lezel. Afilu im heim hoyu bechlal, sori meos. Just 1 second. Afilu im hoyu bechlal. Meklal sheish meos elef bnei Yisrael ein bekach kusha sharei lo hayu sarim tachtam shehem matim lahem min acheshbin. Right, because we're going to the bottom level, that's number 10, that's meaning sorry asara. So there's no one below them, and therefore they are not subtracting from that number, right? Because when we say subtracting for the number, we get to the next level, and then we're taking a fraction of a smaller number. But that's not true here, because when we get to Asara, you're on the bottom level. El Shaddain Tzarek Lomashe Kol Sar Ha'imimuna Al Tisha Anoshim. He wants to know if the Sorry, Asara were number 11 in each group, or it was number 10 in each group. Yachad imo hoyu Asara, he's saying it was number 10. Shim loken adayno imokam lahakshos keitzad yesh shishim elef sorry alofos, sorry Asaros, excuse me, hareihem atzmam mismatim micheshmen sheshmeos elef bnei Yisrael. So again, he wants to guarantee that the Sorei Asara are not reducing the number, so he says that's above the number 10. Okay, that's the first answer of Tosfos. Now let's see if I can find the second answer. 1 second. Chidusha Rabbeinu Yonah, Tosfos Yesh Hechrich Lomu, Sorei Asara, Munim Al Tishmein, Lo Omer Shalim is Kim Shemi Al Gil Shishem Yachashe. This is you, son. I'm finding here the second answer right now. Let me just see. Do you see a second answer in Tosus? Yesh Mefarsh. Maybe that's it. The Cheshbin Hasroros Kachoshi. Dimitri Losan Nimnu Sari Hasroros. Umeha Hashuvim. Umayachashum shebahem nismanu misorei chamishim vachesh misorei chamishim chushu nimnu misorei meos misorei meos birer hachshuvim misorei alofim. I think in the second instance Tosfos is assuming that if we solve the problem of the sorei asoros, then the middle is no kash anymore. Why? Because the sorry chamishim, etc., etc., going up were included in the same group as the sorry asara. So they took the best of the sorry asara and they made it into sorry chamishim. So we don't add anything, and therefore the numbers remain the same. He says the following: Habraisa mona es cheshben asroros. Dahayu mitchila notlu shishim elef lesare asroros. Right, you said 60,000 is for the sare asroros. Uliak mikan notlu mitocham. Amongst the 60,000, they took shneimasar elef lesare chamishim. Uliak mikan notlu mitocham shneimasar elef sheishes alof lesare meis. Ulubasof not mitocha sheshes alofim sheshmeos lisori alofim. Nimtza sheomnam lo nismanu ela shishim elef ish. Achesh ben asroros hu shivim ushmona elef v'sheshmeos. Oh, I see. He's asking a kasha now. If you're saying that it was the same, from the same group, they appointed for the higher bezdin, you know, higher numbers, then how could the Gemara postulate that at the end of the day there were 78,600? I mean, the numbers are jacked up artificially because there weren't 78,000. So he answers that the Gemara's intention here in the Sari, in the number Shivim Ushmona, was not how many people actually served as Sarim, but rather how many Sroros were there. In other words, even though a person is one person and he may go from all the way from the bottom all the way to the top, from Sari Meos all the way to Sari Alofim, but nevertheless, in Srora, he had that Srora. And I don't know if there's any nafkamina to that, but he had that position. Nimtzu Dayane Yisrael Shivim Veribu. Ah, how can the Braisa then calculate a total number, adding it all together? Nimtzu Dayane Yisrael, right? The Lashon HaBraisa is Nimtzu Dayane Yisrael. How many Dayanim were there? There's 78,600, but that's not really true according to Tosfos. Lepirush HaTosfos Ein HaMinyan HaZeh Nachon Shelo Hayu Ela Sheish Ribu Sarim. So if you make the calculation, he says there were only 6,000 sarin, not 78,000, etc. 78,600. Anyway, so the Ben Yoyada rejects the second answer of Tosfos, and he goes back to the first answer of Tosfos. Kosav Atoras Chaim Ein L'tmo Al Kach Shabraisa Misakemes Esminyan Dayani Yisrael Hareyaf Ein Tzorach Lazeh Me'achas Shaf B'mikra Matzinu came, the parashas B'midbar. Oh, he says that don't be amazed that the Gemara goes out of its way to spend so much time to make these calculations when we could have done that on our own. he says that even in Mikra, even in the Torah itself, the Parshas Bamidbar, Nimnu Bnei Yisrael Kol Shevet Befnei Atzmo, right, the Torah gives you the calculation for each Shevet, Uliachmikan, the Torah gives you a Sikum, a total calculation, adding together all the numbers of all the Shvatim. So the Gemara, the Brisa here, is just following the pattern of the Torah itself. Hadran Alecha Dine Mominus Bishlosha.
The note here also said, I mean, there was another option if all of those first three groups were from Shevet Levi and they were included in the total, just like if they were over 60.
Ah, I see. So he has another way of getting the numbers down, and the discrepancy here of 8,600, that would parallel. No, it's 18,600, right? So that 18,600 would correspond to the number of levim.
Yeah.
Does he mention that number 18,000?
Doesn't say.
Okay, that's what it comes on. So now we're going to start Kohen Gadol, and our focus here is on the similarities and the differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Melech. And the first issue that we're going to address is Edus, a person who knows testimony on behalf of one of the various litigants. He's obligated to come forward and testify, even if he's the Kohen Gadol himself. In the Iyun Shir, we decided that a Kohen Gadol to testify is called Eino Lefi Chvodo. It's not a it lowers his dignity. The Mishnah says Meid Kohen Gadol Don Oso Meidu Meidin Oso. That's a very special case. There's only a very very unique case in which we could actually obligate the Kohen Gadol to testify. That's the case where there's a Melech on trial. But in a normal case, 99.999, a Kohen Gadol does not have an obligation to testify. If he wants to testify on his own volition, he's allowed to do so. As I state in Rambam, the Rambam says he's not obligated to testify, but he can do so and waive his cover. Now, in the Mishnah at the very beginning of the Masechta, we learned that a Kohen Gadol, if he's on trial, he has to be tried in front of the highest court of Israel, made up of 71 judges. And our Mishnah here at the beginning of the second parak is a continuation of that din in a case where the Kohen Gadol has to show up in Bez Din. Now, in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, the Kohen Gadol is showing up in Bez Din because he's the accused, he's on trial. In our Mishnah, he's showing up in Bez Din, Dan. Dan means he will be one of the judges on the court. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he has carte blanche to sit on every single decision of the Bez Din because simply he waves the flag of his being a Kohen Gadol. I'm assuming that the Mishnah is just pointing out that he, if he has the status of a judge, he can sit on a judge. Sit as a judge. Now he says the following, that the Meiri writes, Nisbayer inyan adayonim kamahem umi reuyim lekach. So until now we've been discussing how many dayonim we need for each bezdin and who's a good candidate for the bezdin. V'ata, now Yisbayer, the Mishnah is going to clarify, Mi eino tachas memshaltam ladun. Who are those who are not subject to judgment? And that's going to see about the case of a Melech, as opposed to Kohen Gadol. Kevan sha'an hagam esura b'der kal shnei b'nei odom ha'Kohen Gadol v'ha'Melech, ha'Kohen Gadol b'tzad ha'Torah v'ha'Melech b'tzad han'hogas ha'olam. So the Kohen Gadol has tremendous responsibility in the ritual part of Torah. The king, on the other hand, is the final authority on society, on the politics or the social socio-democratic situation. Al kein mevayeres ha-Mishnah, the Mishnah wants to tell you that even though these two individuals is mesura and hagalahem, they are above the rest of the people in different areas, but nevertheless they're not equal. Einom shavim be'inyan. Elim kohen gadol, es kohen gadol yecholim ladun. They can accuse the kohen gadol of a crime, and he will stand on trial. Hamelech, as we'll see in the Sefer of that Mishnah, is einom yecholim ladun. So it means that in terms of kavod, we give more kavod to the king than we give to the kohen gadol, because although you and I might have said the Kohen Gadol is in charge of ritual law, that's the Beis HaMikdash and the Karbonos, and that makes him greater than the Melech. The Melech is only a political appointee. No, the Melech's power and authority is so great, he's so central, he's so, the leader of Klal Yisrael, that his kavod is even greater, it supersedes that of a Kohen Gadol. So again, the Mishnah says, done. And then it says, Vidonim Osa. So not only can the Kohen Gadol sit on the court, that's a halba chiddush, that's not such a big chiddush. He's right to sit on the court, he's not excluded or disqualified simply because he's a Kohen Gadol. That I understand. But now we have a bigger chiddush, and this is again the contrast between Kohen Gadol and Melech, and that is Donim Osa. He will stand on trial. He's not above the law in any sense. Now, what kind of Kohen Gadol are we talking about? The Rambam has, in the fourth parak of Klei HaMikdash, a whole list of categories, and each one has a different way in which he becomes a Kohen Gadol. For example, there's one appointment of a Kohen Gadol, which is B'Meshicha B'Shemen HaMishcha, for the Kohen Gadol who's the Rosh L'Kol HaKohenim. He is the head honcho that supervises and rules, dominates over all other Kohanim. But that's only because he was appointed with Shemen HaMishcha. Im Ein Shom Shemen HaMishcha, then we can appoint him as a Kohen Gadol in a different way, a different method, a fallback method, and that's called Beribui Begadim. Right, a Kohen Gadol wears 8 Begadim, and when this individual is being appointed as a Kohen Gadol, we don't have the Shemen HaMishcha, instead we have the Shmona Begadim. So what he does is, he wears the Shmona Begadim, and he takes them off and puts them on every time for 7 days straight. When he does the special avodah, the Kohen Gadol, and then he takes off, and then the next day, again he dedicates to that avodah, and he puts on the Begadim. The Rambam goes on to say that even though the Kohen Meruba Begadim did not have Meshicha B'Shemen HaMishcha, nevertheless he still has the same identical status as a Kohen Mashuach Molchama, with only one difference, and that's called Par Helim Dover, meaning, let's say the Kohen Gadol was guilty of violating a serious avera b'shogeg, so the Torah requires that he bring a special par, which is called par kohen mashiach, which means that if he was a shogeg on a chiyuv kares, then he has to bring a par of a kohen mashiach, and that only applies to the kohen who was anointed with the shemen hamishcha. Then we have another kohen who's also kohen gadol. And he's called Mashuach Melchama. He is not the superior Kohen over the other Kohenim, but he gets anointed with Shemen HaMishcha to serve as the individual who sends the Jewish soldiers out to battle. And he reads the whole parsha, and so forth and so on. Then we have another Kohen Gadol, which is called the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar. So let's say, for example, the main Kohen Gadol, the primary Kohen Gadol, contracted Tumah. He wasn't able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. We replace him with a second Kohen Gadol up until the time that the first Kohen Gadol is Metayer himself, and he goes back and he's reinstated. Once the Kohen Gadol goes back to his Avodah, then the Kohen who is number two, who was taken out of the bullpen, so to speak, he becomes what's called a Kohen Sha'avar. He's no longer a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen Gadol for a temporary period of time. So in all these categories, we have to wonder whether the Mishnah applies. Now, in the case of a Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah says, Don v'donim also. If he has the qualifications, he can sit on the court. And if he's suspect of being guilty, he's accused of a crime, he has to stand on trial. This would be true for every single one of the Kohanim Gedolim, any category they're in. But now we have a different question. And this is going to be a machlokas rishona between the Shita Mekubetzes in the name of Rabbi Yonasa Miluniel and the Ran. Is the Mishnah referring, when it says to din, is it referring to dine mominos or to dine nefashos or to both? So Rabbi Yonasa and Miluniel, I think he's a Frenchman, if I'm not mistaken. Luniel is in France, I think. Anyway, he seems to assume that there's no difference between dini mamonos and dini nefashos. Now, before we get to the Ran Shita, let's mention the middle of the Ran Shita. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, in the name of Yesh Omrim, shemedubar b'mishnasenu b'dini mamonos. Now, that doesn't mean to the exclusion of dini nefashos, but rather what the Rabbeinu Yonah is arguing is that if you go back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph, we already know Dine Nefashos. What our Mishnah is adding is Dine Mominos. Yesha Kosu Shemeduba B'Dine Nefashos. Now, it seems to me, if I read this correctly, that what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying in the name of the second Yesha Kosvu is that if our Mishnah is referring to Dini Nefashos, it doesn't necessarily apply to Dini Mominos. Meaning, I'm not sure if in monetary disputes the Kohen Gadol would have to stand on trial in a Beis Din. I'm not sure. Haran Kosov, Shadover Toli B'Shtei Lishonis B'Gemara, Madua Nemar B'Mishnah, Shadon v'dono so imu agav mashenemer b'melach she'ein don v'eino don so osher bala lamed shebeshoge gola b'shaloka b'shlosha ayin shom, he says. Okay, so let's just quickly read the Mishnah that's relevant to us today. Kohen Gadol don v'donin so he judges and he will be judged. Meid Umeiden also. He testifies in someone else's case in Beis Din, and if he knows testimony on behalf of someone else in a Tviya Taina, then he has to testify in Beis Din. Again, as I told you before, the final conclusion of the Gemara is that he's a Zaken Menel Chifodo. He cannot be forced to testify in Beis Din. He's allowed to testify in Beis Din. He has license to do so if he so desires. Now, if we assume that our Mishnah is talking about both Dini Mominos and Dini Nefashos, as we said earlier, in the name of Rabbeinu Yonasan Miluniel, then you could have two different cases of Me'idin. Either the case of Me'idin would be that someone was claiming against someone else that he owes him money, or it could be that someone was being accused of violating a crime, and that might even be a capital crime. And in all these cases, we have a principle called Meid Umeiden Oso. So again, if he is being accused, again, I can't even imagine this scenario, but he's being accused of violating a capital crime, then he has to stand in judgment, and in the trial we'll bring in two Adam to testify against him. So even someone as important as the Kohen Gadol would have to stand in trial. Okay, Rabbi Osai, so we'll stop here. And Belineder will pick up the balance of this Mishnah tomorrow. Wish everyone a great day.